Sports Time Radio. All sports, all time.
All right, it's the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. Let's see if this music works better.
Start spreading the news.
We didn't have any problem with that. That means Schomburg Stu is here.
Well, technical problems are behind us.
Let's hope. So, all right, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there, hopefully sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter there yet, but you can hunt me down at Burke Time, and I will gladly forward anything you need to get over to Stu to Stu. So there you go.
That's it.
Yeah, now I got to tell you, I'm a little bit frustrated today. You know, I watch the various sports shows here and there, and I have heard three different guys come out and talk about how the Brewers have pitching problems. You know, they've worn out their bullpen. Like, this is news. If you would have been listening to this podcast back before the season started and at the beginning of the season, you would have heard me and Dan chime in with the exact same thing. And now it's July, and all of a sudden, the idiots are noticing in July.
They're getting on your bandwagon right now, it seems to me, because I know you have mentioned that way back at the beginning of the season.
Morons. So, you know, and then the humorous part was one guy actually said he brought it up at the beginning of the season, which is a gigantic lie, because I saw pretty much everything that went on at the beginning of the season, and everybody was kissing the Brewers' rear end, and, you know, they were the team of destiny with the new magic way they handled their pitchers, and, you know, that was just how it was going to be, and, you know, everybody was going to bow down to Milwaukee, and I even heard Chris Rose, when the Brewers moved into first place, declare the NL Central over. It must have been a month or two ago when they actually moved into first place, and I was like, really? So
you know who I picked to wind up in first place, right?
Actually, I don't.
St. Louis. I picked St. Louis.
That would mean I'd have to go back and actually dig out the Google sheet, which isn't going to happen. So, you know. But yeah, drove me nuts today when I heard that, and it's like, you know, obviously. And these are guys who have frickin', you know, interns and assistants and research people, and none of them were smart enough to figure out that the Brewers didn't have starting pitching depth and they were going to burn up their bullpen. Really?
But they do have some nice hitting, at least.
Yeah, no, they're pretty good offensive too. You know, I mean, I'm not saying they're out of it. I know St. Louis has been on a gigantic tear as of late. I think they've won six in a row, and, you know, they can't do anything wrong right now. And, you know, there's still plenty of ways to go, and they're only a couple games out. But, you know, it's the stupidity that gets to me when it's just kind of like, really, you're just noticing this, and these guys get paid for it. You know, nobody's paying me to sit here and talk about this, and I can figure it out while holding down my regular job. these idiots do it full time and can't figure it out.
Well,
you know,
you
I mean, how
the
how
one to do it? Yeah, you were right. You were spot on. You were spot on. I thought they may have pitching problems, but I didn't think it would be this serious. But obviously, it is.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that bothers me more than anything is the fact that these idiots are getting paid, and here I am. I mean, having a good time doing this, of course. And yeah, I'm the only one who can notice this. Really, do these guys not pay attention to what goes on? I heard somebody try to blame it on injury today, but at this point, every team has injuries. So
yeah, you can't avoid injuries. And obviously, as one of the blogs I saw today on the internet said that the Brewers have to go and get some pitching before the deadline, which is coming up on Wednesday at midnight, right?
Yep. Yeah. If they're going to contend, they need I don't know the extent of Brandon Woodruff's injury, but he was really their best starter. They're calling it a strained left oblique, and that's kept Cole Hamels out, coming up on almost 2 months. So you got to figure Woodruff is in for the same kind of deal. So he, being that it's the end of July, if he's not back till the end of September, he may not be any help for him.
No, and who knows what kind of shape he'll be in when he comes back. Because
it's
almost playoff time then. It'll be near the end of the season. And those are nasty injuries.
So, they are definitely desperate for, not only help in the rotation, but help in the bullpen. Hader's been the only reliable reliever. Everybody else, they've only got one other guy with an ERA under 4, and in the bullpen, that's unacceptable. So, they're going to have
to. They wore him out last year. Remember that? How he wasn't the same pitcher at the end of the season in 2018.
No, and you do wonder, he's probably one of the few closers who has more innings pitched than games. He's appeared in 37 games, and he's thrown 49 and two-thirds innings. There aren't too many closers. Normally they're either right on where it's one for one, or they may be a shade over. Almost 13 innings over is a big deal. That's a lot of two-inning appearances for a closer, and guys don't do that anymore.
No, not in today's baseball. And we saw what happened last year when they did that.
Yeah, obviously they're at home. They're opening a gigantic series with the Cubs tonight. And they, if they're going to stay in the race, they're going to need to win the series. They don't have to sweep it, but they're definitely going to have to win it. So, it'll be interesting. They're going to have to find a way to take 2 out of 3. I know there was actually some talk of Cole Hamels returning, but he's going to make a rehab start instead. So, he won't be back for the series. They're going to have to come up with something. I'm going to double check here and have the correct listed starters for the series, even though that could change. We got Kyle Hendricks and Gio Gonzalez tonight. I know Gonzalez is just coming back from injury, so we'll see how long he kind of hangs around. Tomorrow we got John Lester against Chase Anderson, and then Sunday we wrap up with Jose Quintana against Zach Davies. So going into the series, the Cubs really have the best starting pitcher in each game. It's just a matter of will they pitch like it, and in today's game, you just never know what a guy's going to do.
No, and I suspect that the Brewers will win 2 out of 3.
So, it definitely will be interesting. So,
oh, by the way, when you talk about Hamels coming back now, he'll be on a pitch count, I assume.
Yeah, well, I guess it depends how the rehab start goes, but. In today's game, everybody's on a pitch count. Rarely does a guy go over 100 innings. Or 100 pitches, sorry.
Right. But I don't see him pitching more than 80 his first time back.
Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. It probably won't take him long to get back to, where he was. But, the Cubs did make a move today. Apparently, they decided they needed to replace Mike Montgomery. So they picked up Derek Holland, who was designated for assignment by the Giants. I don't even know, did they have to give them anything, or did the Giants just give him away? But Holland was a whopping. He was 2-4 for the Giants with a 5.90 ERA in 31 games. He did make 7 starts for them before they got smart. So I'm not really positive that that's the answer, but apparently that's what they wanted to do, and they designated Tim Collins for assignment. So there you go.
Collins is not a youngster, correct? He's been around a while.
No, he's 32.
Okay. Well, it seems to me that that's not a great move, because he hasn't been all that great the last couple of seasons.
No, well, he was solid last year for the Giants. Even though he was 7-9, his ERA was 3.57. But he had that ill-fated season with the White Sox, where he was 7-14 with a 6.20 ERA. And I'm assuming they're gonna make like I said, he's gonna fill Mike Montgomery's shoes, try to be the left-handed specialist. I honestly don't know how much of a difference there's gonna be between him and Tim Collins. So, I guess we'll kind of see. Collins wasn't terrible. In his 9 games, he did have a 3.12 ERA. So.
Yeah, but you never had that much confidence when he was in there. I never did.
Yeah, but you're going to have that in Holland when he comes in now?
Well, we'll have to see how he does the first couple of times. And maybe a change in the location will rejuvenate him. It has happened before.
I don't see him coming out and, putting up zeros after zeros like, Jesse Chavez did last week or last year. So.
Yeah, well, that was a fluke season for Chavez. He never had a season like that before.
There's still plenty of relievers out there to go hunt down, and hopefully they'll be able to find one, because obviously that's their biggest need, even though for some reason I keep reading everybody says they need to add a hitter, but if they add a hitter, I don't know where he's going to play, so that would be incredibly stupid on their part unless they're dealing somebody from the lineup. So get a quality bullpen piece and stop trying to fill in with these has-beens and misfits from other teams.
Well, talking about the outfielder from Detroit, who was a pretty solid hitter.
Yeah, except he sucks as a defender, and there's nowhere to play him.
Yeah,
you make him the everyday right fielder.
He'd probably be
the everyday right fielder. He's not moving Schwarber, so that puts Hayward in center every day. And then you got a butcher out there who's going to cost you as many runs as he's going to drive in for you.
Yeah, that's not a good thing either.
No.
Well, it should be a race that's going down to the wire. You know that. You know it's going to be a 3-team race all the way down to the last week or two of the season.
Then if you do make that move for Castellanos, you merge Hayward in between two just horrible defenders. how big of a nightmare do you want to make it for him out there?
Yeah, that reminds me when the Cubs had a center fielder years ago. Trying to remember his name. He was a good center fielder, but he was between Ralph Kiner and Hank Sauer. So he had a feel for that guy.
Yeah, and that would pretty much almost be the situation Hayward would be in, with Schwarber in left and Castellanos in right. I give Schwarber credit. He's lost the weight and he's improved as a defender, but he's not even an average defender. He's still a below average defender. So... there's nothing you can do about that. And, Castellanos, he was a terrible third baseman. Now he's a terrible right fielder who can hit. So
there's a couple of other names bandied about, and it'll be interesting to see what kind of move they make in the next few days.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know the other names were a couple utility guys. You know, Dan and I had the Eric Sogard discussion because I don't think he does anything. I mean, he's having a career year, but does he continue that if the Cubs get him? So, you know, there's no reason to go out there and get that. And I forgot who the – there was another utility-type player they were talking about going after. But that, you know, I mean, obviously when you look at this team – you know, just like probably every other team in baseball, pitching is what they need. So,
we always talk about that.
You know, there are a few teams. I mean, maybe the Yankees are the only team in baseball who can outslug somebody right now, even though they gave up 19 runs yesterday and everybody says they need pitching.
Yeah, Boston really showed active the other day.
Yeah.
And talking about second base, the Cubs, of course, have a big second base problem now. The question is are they going to install Happ as a regular second baseman when he comes, when he's back with the team now?
Well, you know, the sad part is they really don't have a second base problem, but Addison Russell appears to be the scapegoat. So my guess is if he doesn't get shipped off at the trade deadline, he's gone in the off season. You know, you're looking at a guy who's a gold glove defender, and I get it, he was only hitting about 250, but in their lineup, you can hide a guy like that. You know, I mean, you hang on to Daniel Descalzo, who's hitting a .181. You know, and I heard all the – well, he's a good clubhouse guy. Well, do you need a clubhouse guy with Rizzo, Bryant, and all these guys who have been together for years? Why do you not need the gold glove defender, you know, in situations like that? So, you know, they have a second base problem because they made themselves a second base problem.
Well, I guess they weren't too happy about that game that he played in a few games ago when he had
who cares?
Several mental breakdowns during the game, and I guess that was it. That's why he was sent down.
Yeah, well, you know, they need an excuse to do things like that. I mean, they ran Starlin Castro out of town, who had a pretty good career since, you know, they've ran him off. I know he's having a bit of a down year this year, but that's understandable. He's on a team that's just an embarrassment to baseball. You know, and I mean, you know, they'll deal Russell somewhere, and he'll go on to have a fine career. I mean, he's not going to be you know, he'll never be a 300 hitter, and I doubt he'll get to 20 homers again like he did that one year. But, you know, I mean, if it's a guy like that and he's hitting 260 and he hits 15 home runs with the defense he plays, you know, and I know nobody cares about that anymore. Defense means absolutely nothing in today's game. But, you know, when he starts saving runs for pitchers, they're going to really like a guy like that. So
yeah. I have the feeling that we've seen the last of him as a Cub.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Dan and I were talking the other day, and he's got a perfect landing spot in Boston where obviously Dustin Pedroia's career is over. So I won't be surprised if Theo cooks up another deal with the Red Sox and Russell ends up in a Red Sox uniform either in 5 days at the trading deadline or this offseason. So.
And what do they have to give the Cubs in return?
Oh, you know, it'll just be a prospect or two. You know, you're not going to get anything for him now. I mean, you completely devalued him as a player. So
you don't want for much. But I'm actually surprised, by the way, that this guy will still on the team. I can't figure that out.
Well, you know, like I just said, he's a great locker room guy. So there you go.
There you go, and you can put up with a .180 batting average.
Sure. Especially if he's a great locker room guy.
Yeah. Well, that nice guys finish last. You know what the Leo DeRocher's famous line was?
Yeah. You know, that's just kind of, you know, that, and I don't think they want to look like they have egg on their face after they signed him as a free agent. You know, because I believe he's got a 2-year deal. I believe he's got a contract for next year. So, you know, they're going to have to try to save face there somehow, but. You know, I mean, at this point, I think Happ is playing left field tonight. I don't know why, you know, he won't be given a shot as the everyday second baseman. But, you know, the Cubs, you know, Joe Maddon does stupid stuff like this all the time. So you never know. Like, I believe I saw an article where Wilson Contreras is leading off tonight. So, you know, it's just more of Maddon's idiocracy. And, hopefully I'll get lucky and they'll replace him after this season and I won't have to deal with the – you know, just the incredible stupidity and him trying to put everything off as being the smartest guy in the dugout. So
with Cap playing left field, does it mean that Elmora is playing center tonight, I assume?
Yeah, I don't know. Let me pull up the actual lineup here. I didn't look at the lineup. I just saw the headline for the article with Hop or whatever in left and Contreras leading off. So let me hunt down their lineup here. Of course, you know my internet's going to run like crap now because I wanted it to actually look for something. So. All right, let's see what we got. We have, like I said, Contreras is actually catching and leading off. Bryant is in the lineup. I thought he might get a day off with that knee. He's second at third. Rizzo's third at first. Baez is fourth at short. Hayward's in right batting fifth. Hop is sixth and left. Almora is in center batting seventh. Bodie's at second base tonight hitting eighth. And, of course, Kyle Hendricks is ninth doing the pitching. So, you know, no face Gio Gonzalez.
Yeah, and probably lose.
So, you know, we'll see how, how that all shakes.
The Cardinals playing
The Cardinals are actually playing the Astros tonight.
Oh.
So.
That'll be a tough game for them.
Yeah, but they are facing a rookie pitcher, so they do have that going for them.
Yeah, they've been very strong lately.
I know the guy had a really good outing last time out for Houston because I had him in FanDuel, and he scored some decent numbers for me. So
well, that was a good choice.
But yeah, that was actually dumb luck. But you know, I think they were playing a weak team, and I wanted to save some money, so I went with a cheap pitcher. And he was the guy, and it just kind of happened to work my way. And then I didn't hit anyway, so I didn't end up winning any money.
Even with that success, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, sadly, I had a great night last night. I scored 175 points, thought I won some money, found out I missed out by less than a point and a half. So.
That was close, though, huh?
Yeah. You know, the only reason I got that close
was
yeah, like, well, you know, if you had Nelson Cruz in your lineup, you were pretty much guaranteed a great night last night. So,
yeah, with three home runs is not too bad. And
yeah.
the Sox phenom hasn't been faring too well lately.
No, well, you know, that's kind of to be expected the second half of the year. I looked it up. Gonzalez has came back. He's made one start since being hurt. He went four innings against the Diamondbacks, gave up five hits on three runs, walked two guys, struck out one, and only threw 73 pitches. So this is his second start for coming back from injury, so we'll see how many innings he can give the Brewers tonight. I'm not guessing more than five, though, and once the Cubs get into that bullpen, it could be a whole different story.
Well, the Cubs' offense has been less than robust, especially on the road.
Yeah, well, you know, they ran into a hot team. The Giants have been the best team in baseball this month, so it's no surprise they got beat two out of three there. But, you know, they pitched pretty well, so, you know, as long as you're pitching well, it keeps you in games.
Yeah, they lost two tough one-run games, and thanks to Stroman, they had a two-run lead.
You know, that was the bullpen that blew both those games. The starters were just fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure what Strope's problem is. I think he did okay in the game they won, but he has not looked very sharp lately.
So, yeah, we'll see how that kind of works out tonight. But you know, I'm not quite sure how it's going to go. Hopefully, they will figure it out and be able to put Milwaukee away because. Then I can rub it in everybody's face, but that's just for my own personal, beliefs there. So we shall see.
Well, if anybody wants to go back and listen to your reruns of your old broadcast at the beginning of the season, they'll know that what you're saying was true. And it happened.
Yes. Yeah. You can go back anytime, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can search the history or over on tunein.com. you know, you can go over and check stuff out. So, you know. Oh, wow. God, I didn't even see this trade. This trade happened 9 days ago and I missed it. Do you know the Yankees acquired Terrence Gore?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, remember the Cubs picked him up, I think, the year they won the World Series.
Yeah,
now he's a Yankee. They sent him to AAA, of course, but I didn't realize he had been moved.
Well, the only thing he has going for him is his speed, if I remember correctly.
So, yeah, that's his. That's pretty much his whole game. So, but, yeah, I didn't, you know, it was only for cash. So, you know, they didn't even have to give anything up. But was he on the Royals major league roster, or he had played 37 games for the Royals this year, but he only had 51 at bats. He was hitting 275 and he has 13 stolen bases. So he's kind of doing what he does.
That's not bad. That's not bad. And maybe the Yankees will bring him up later on, steal a few bases.
Probably September. So. Yeah, you know, my guess is they probably went out and got him when they started having all those injuries. You know, they had some outfielders go down, so they probably grabbed him just in case. So.
Yeah, they've had their share of injuries, but they're still going to look like they're going to obviously run away with the AL East without much problem.
Yeah, no, you know the division races, with the exception of. You know, like I know the AL Central has come around, but, you know, the NL Central and I think maybe the NL East, you know, I mean, a lot of these division races are turning into blowouts. I mean, the Yankees, the Astros, the Dodgers are just, you know, they're just beating up on teams. So.
Yeah, one time I thought the AL Central was going to be a runaway too, but not anymore.
Yeah, it was until the Twins kind of came back to the pack. So, you know, and I assume now in the AL East with the injury to Blake Snell, I'm under the impression that the Rays just fade away, you know, so that's obviously a blessing for the Red Sox. It gives them a chance to get in the wild card race, but, you know, there's no way, you know, I'll be surprised if they can cut the gap to single digits against the Yankees.
No, they're not going to be able to catch the Yankees, but there are several teams in contention for the wild card slot in both leagues. It should be
there's a boatload. Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable how many teams are still hanging around in the wild card race. You know, I mean, even I know, like, they've kind of declared themselves out of it, but, I mean, technically even teams like Cincinnati and Pittsburgh are really hanging around. You know, they would have to get on a good run to get back in it, but,
it's odd.
You know, the Giants magically got themselves back in contention with the way they've been playing. They kind of killed the Rocky and the Padre buzz. You know, there was all that buzz earlier about the Rockies and the Padres. And, you know, with the way the Giants played in July, they just buried that.
And the Giants are now over 500.
Yeah.
No one expected that.
You know, and then, you know, then it appears that, you know, the Mets are in for another embarrassing Met-type season, even though they, you know, they look to have good talent. Apparently now their plan is to deal Noah Syndergaard to try to help them get younger. So that will be interesting to see if they can accomplish that. But that's, you know, that's quite a bit to give up. I mean, they're going to give up on a 26-year-old right-hander who, you know, I know he's having a little bit of a rough year this year with that 4.33 ERA, but, you know, you're looking at a guy that's, you know, got number one rotation stuff, and you're going to be able
a down
to
year,
give
though.
Him up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just 1 year. You're giving up on a guy after
right.
1 year? That's the fact that you still have him for
him.
He's got three more years of control.
Yeah, he has talent. So whoever gets him will get a good pitcher, I think, for a little while. And the question is, what do the Mets get in return? Prospects that he pointed out. That's about
it. Yeah, they're going to try to get younger. You know, I mean, even with the bad year, his career ERA is still 3.21.
Yeah, the Mets always seem to have a good pitching staff, but they always seem to wind up with injuries or people having down years and just. they never seem to be a contender.
No, you know, and they, you know, you would think, you know, looking at it, you know, I mean, I know obviously they had some, you know, some rough luck. You know, they brought in Jed Lowry, and I don't think he's played a game for them this year, you know, due to injury. And it always kind of, you know, stinks when you sign a guy like, you know, a free agent like that. But, I don't get the deal with this team. You just kind of wonder, you know, what they thought or what their thought process was. And, you know, I mean, they went out and they made the big trade with Seattle to add those guys. And, you know, Cano has been bad. And even Diaz has struggled as a closer. So.
Yeah, just think a few years ago they were in the World Series.
Yeah, well, that was a long time ago now. So.
Well, not that long ago. 2015 is not that long ago.
No, 4 years, that's a long time now. You know, so, but yeah, they,
not for an old coot like me.
You know, you remember, you know, Matt Harvey was going to be a perennial Cy Young Award winner or contender at least. And, you know, now he's out of baseball. The Angels released him. You know, now, you know, if they dump Syndergaard like they're talking, you know, that vaunted rotation, the only thing left will be DeGrom, Zach Wheeler, who's always hurt, and Steven Matz, who stinks. So.
Yeah, it does not look good for the Mets when you got three teams that are better than they are by far. But there is one team they're better than in their division.
Yeah. And they should be better than for a long time. So.
Yeah, you would think so.
But, yeah, you know, you just wonder, you know, you start to look at the Mets and you just wonder if it's talent evaluation that's the problem. You know, because obviously they saw something in Mats that just wasn't there. And, you know, maybe I guess I would have to look at Wheeler's history, but you think they might have known somewhere down the line that he was injury prone and it just wasn't going to work out. So.
Yeah, it seems like, as you point out, it was a series of bad decisions in combination with a lot of injuries. But maybe they should have suspected one of those injuries, like you pointed out, with someone having a history like that. They're taking a chance that he's going to be healthy. It didn't work out for them.
But yeah, you know, we'll see what they can kind of do. I know there's been, you know, some possible talk about them even moving Diaz. You know, he does have 22 saves, but he is 1-6 with a 4.81 ERA. Apparently, they're asking for quite a bit for him though, so I don't know if, you know, anybody's going to jump on it. But your guy Justin Wilson is having a solid year. He's 1-1 with one save and a 3.45 ERA.
Hey, that's not too bad. It's a lot better than what he did in Chicago.
So, you know, you got that to look forward to. But, yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if and when we kind of get, you know, one of these starting pitchers to move. I mean, there's just so many names out there. And, you know, the thing that obviously Dan and I laugh about all the time is that everyone is going to the Yankees. You know, whenever a name comes up, it's the Yankees who are going to get them, and they're going to end up with, you know, an 11-man pitching staff that are all starters. But that's just, you know, media stupidity because they don't want to do the work and just send everybody to the Yankees. I'm sure Syndergaard is going to be a Yankee, and, you know, Marcus Stroman is the other name out there who's going to be a Yankee. And, you know, Robbie Ray's name popped up the other day, and, of course, it was the Yankees who were looking into him. So...
Was he,
it was just like.
Would you automatically say now it's going to be the Yankees and Dodgers in the World Series?
You never know because the playoffs are such a, you know, entirely different animal, and you know if they run into some good pitching, you know you can easily get shut down. I mean you got to remember the Astros are going to come at you with Verlander and Cole at the top of the rotation, and that can beat anybody in two games.
Yeah, that's right. That's so, true.
You know,
like I always
you know, obviously.
Right. Well, like I always
you
say,
know,
when
I mean,
I first started watching baseball, there was only eight teams in a league, one winner from the National League, one winner from the American League, and you always suspected it would be the Yankees and Dodgers every year, and that's what it turned out to be, but as you correctly pointed out, now with all the different playoffs and wild card and anything can happen. a short series, especially.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, in all honesty, and I know it might sound weird, but the team everybody may have to look out for if they get healthy will be the Indians. You know, because you're looking at a team, Corey Kluber is going to be back next month. You know, obviously, he's a big-time top-of-the-rotation starter. By the time the playoffs come around, he should be full strength. All right, if they get Carlos Carrasco back, and I think that one's a little more iffy because he's battling leukemia, you know, but he would be a nice add. But you don't forget, you're still looking at Trevor Bauer is still there. Shane Bieber has been fantastic for them. And then Mike Clevenger has really had a really good year. I know he's had some injury issues as well. You know, this could be a really ugly team to have to face come playoff time. You know what I mean? If they run four guys at you who go seven plus and shut you down, the next thing you know, you're out of the playoffs.
Yeah, and that could happen. And they certainly have turned their season around. And they've been one of the hottest teams in baseball for quite some time now.
You know, and I mean, in all honesty, if they get in the playoffs, they may have the best starting rotation out of any playoff team. You know, they may not have the quote-unquote best guy at the top of the rotation, but if you're going four guys like most teams do now, they don't go three anymore. Cleveland will probably be the best one through four. You know, the Yankees will have prettier names when you see, you know, Tanaka and Sabathia and Hop and Paxton, but Cleveland's guys have pitched better. So, it could be ugly if the Indians come in playing well. You may not want to run across them.
No, and the way it shapes up is that the Yankees will have wind up with the best record probably in the league, which means they play the wild card team, which might turn out to be Cleveland. And then Houston against maybe Minnesota.
So, you know, and I mean, you can go about it, you know, in the National League, this could happen quite a lot to teams. If Max Scherzer is healthy, the Nationals come at you with Scherzer, Strasburg, and Corbin. You know, the Cubs can go four deep on you. If Hugh Darvish gets his head out of his ass, you know, they can come at you with great pitching. And, you know, the Braves guys are all young, so you wonder how that'll hold up in a playoff situation, but there's a lot of talent in that rotation. You know, you run into one of these teams and somebody gets hot and pitching gets contagious. You know, like I said, the next thing you know, you're down 3-0 or, you know, you're swept out of the playoffs going, what the hell happened?
Yeah, I would think the only team that really can give a good battle to the Dodgers, assuming they get by the first round, which I think they will, would be Atlanta. I think Atlanta is a very dangerous young team. And a lot of people, including myself, I must admit, doubted them. We thought they already were a one-year wonder. They would come down to earth this year and wouldn't win the division again. But they have proved me and a lot of the experts wrong.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll take, you know, while the Dodgers are probably the best team in baseball right now, you know, not only the Braves, I don't have a problem with the way the Cubs match up or the Nationals match up with them. You know, because you got to remember, the Dodgers can only go so deep. You know, Ryu is having a great year, and then you back it up with Walker Buehler and Clayton Kershaw. But nobody in their right mind is trusting Rich Hill. You know,
no.
I mean, he could get hurt walking out of the dugout, let alone throwing the first pitch or two in the game. Maeda hasn't had, you know, Maeda's playoff success has been so bad that he's went to the bullpen the last few years. So, you know, there's always going to be that question. And then the fact that, you know, if you want to mess with the Dodgers like the Brewers did, you run an opener out there, you let him pitch an inning or even a batter, you take him out and they go through because the front office runs the team and they swap the whole lineup out. So you deplete their bench just by making a pitching change.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of Rich Hill myself, but he somehow gets the job done. I'm not sure if he'll start to run out of steam, though, towards the end of the season.
Well, he's probably on IL at this point, isn't he? Resting up for the, you know, for the inevitable next injury?
Yeah, he does get hurt quite a bit. And he's not a youngster either, right? I mean, he's been around quite a while.
Yeah, here, He's actually on the 60-day injury list with a left forearm flexor strain. They don't expect him back till sometime in September. So even if he's back for the playoffs, you're only looking at a guy who's going to be able to give you a couple innings.
Yeah, 3-4 at the most.
So yeah, you know, I mean, there's going to be questions with, you know, all these teams, no matter who it is, you know, and that's kind of the key. I mean, you find that pitching staff that can roll, and you know, especially in the playoffs, you can really shut a team down. I mean, what is the the division series is just best of five, right?
Correct, best of five.
So, you know, I mean, just imagine if, you know, say Scherzer, Strasburg, and Corbin get hot, Washington can sweep the Dodgers.
I don't think that will happen, but it certainly is a possibility with pitching that strong.
Scherzer, when healthy, is one of the best pitchers in the league. Strasburg leads the league in wins. You know, obviously Corbin can pitch. So,
have they ever talked about extending the first round to seven games rather than five? But they're the only sport that does that. Basketball doesn't do that, or hockey doesn't do that. They're always best of seven every round.
Remember when the first rounds in basketball and hockey were best of three?
That was many years ago, yes.
A long time ago. And the only reason they go to best of seven is because the owners get greedy. You know, and they want that playoff money because those games are going to sell out. You know, I don't think baseball can do it because of the weather concerns. You know, if those division series get stretched out to seven games with the way the scheduling is, you know, next thing you know, you're playing, on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And they were fortunate when some of these series have gone through until early November, they had some decent weather.
Yeah.
And that we all know what could happen in November, but usually not in early November. And maybe the fact also is there's so many games in baseball that maybe that's why the first round is only five games. Because they play so many games compared to hockey or
basketball.
Imagine
the Cubs hosting a World Series game on November 20th or something like that.
Yeah,
you know?
They will have to avoid that. I don't remember ever any snow in early November, but that would be kind of embarrassing for baseball
when
it happened.
30 whatever. Yeah, you know, if it's 30 whatever, that still sucks to play in, and nobody wants to watch that.
No, that's not real baseball weather.
You know. Yeah, that's always, a difficult proposal there when you're looking for things. It's like, yeah, great, okay. So.
Yeah, the early season is kind of rough on the baseball players, but when you're making that kind of money, I guess you can suck it up and put up with those kind of conditions.
Yeah, you know, you would hope. You know, I mean, it's not the, obviously it's ugly, but, you know, they should be able to handle it for, you know, what it's worth there.
Yeah, the unpleasant conditions, and maybe they should schedule it, and maybe they've done this. They started out the season in warm weather cities like Florida and Los Angeles and Houston and Arizona.
You know, they try that, but, you know, then it's unfair to those teams because then all their home games are in the first part of the year, you know, and that's not fair to them. So, you know, but they do try for the most part to, you know, get a lot of those games there so they can go out and, take care of that stuff. But, you know, I mean, you don't want to be that team, you know, in April or May or whatever that has, you know, 16, 17 home games because then, you know, you're on the road, it seems like, the rest of the time.
Yeah, it's tough to make those schedules. Not easy.
You know, you just got to hope that global warming kicks in and you can get some of those East Coast games in.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And, well, I'm glad you're a proponent of the theory that there actually is global warming.
I'll take what I can get. I don't know. You know, you never know what to believe anymore. But hey, what the hell? So.
Yeah. Did we really walk on the moon too? That's another issue. But that's another story for another time.
You know, that's always the fun stuff I like to watch on TV. You know, give me a conspiracy show or, you know, something about Bigfoot or one of those kind of crypto, you know, cryptoids, and I'm hooked. You got me. Even though they never find anything and they never come to any conclusion, I'm the idiot sitting there watching the entire hour of it. So.
Well, you know, of course, that the Earth is flat.
Yes. You know, in some people's mind, yes, it is. So.
Yeah. Some NBA players support that theory, as you well know.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it is interesting to, you know, and I mean, it's, you know, that's the one thing. I mean, you're allowed to kind of believe what you want to believe. I necessarily don't believe that the Earth is flat, but hey, you know, what the hell?
Yeah, I do get a kick and find it very interesting, by the way, as long as we're on the subject of those shows on the Travel Channel and History Channel about the UFOs, because
yes.
Even a fraction of what they say is true. It's very, very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's obviously just fun. You know, fun stuff for me to watch. And you know, so you aren't going to take part in storming Area 51 like they had planned there?
Well, that would be interesting. I would love to go out there and see what was going on, and maybe they could have a documentary on that. And like they had a documentary years ago, and I think in Al Capone vault that Rivera did, and they finally got in there and opened it and found nothing. It was a waste, of a two-hour show. They found absolutely nothing.
But I watched all 2 hours of that. So.
Yeah, you and most of the country did.
So, you know, good old Geraldo Rivera. So.
Yeah.
You know, that's just kind of how it goes. You know, they need like a, you know, a sports mystery, you know, show like that where they can, you know, investigate stuff like that for sports.
Yeah, maybe in October we'll find out the cause of death of Skaggs, the pitcher for the Angels.
I haven't really known until October. So, you know, yeah, I wonder if they'll end up releasing something.
I'm sure they'll have to have some kind of a press release as to what caused it. And of course, I'm hoping, as with everybody else, that it's not what everybody thinks, that there was some kind of an OD. You just don't want that to happen.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, as sad as it is, that's always kind of the first thing you go to when, you know, it happens to an athlete. But hopefully, yeah, it's something that was just kind of naturally caused in his body, you know, unfortunately at his age, but that does happen.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's rare, but it happens. And I'm just hoping that it's not something that we're all reluctant to admit is a possibility.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, you know, that was the bad thing with, you know, when it happened to Jose Fernandez, you know, I mean, you know, they did all the tributes and played him up as just, you know, a fantastic person. And then, you know, sadly he ended up being on cocaine and he was the guy who ended up driving the boat that crashed.
Yeah, exactly right. And that tarnished his image. And the team was embarrassed about having all those tributes when that information came out.
You know, it was kind of like when, you know, WWE did the big tribute to Chris Benoit before they realized what happened.
Yeah, and now his name is, what's the term? Persona non grata? You don't hear his name ever mentioned again.
I believe they even erased some of his matches from pay-per-view.
Yeah, and, well, that was a horrendous thing that happened. But you can't erase history. It happened, it's over with, it's done with, and you can't just not acknowledge it because the unfortunate event happened.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess I get that, you know, well, especially in the WWE, they like to try, you know, that's actually kind of their thing is, you know, he believes he can rewrite history, but yeah, so.
It's not happening. Yeah, that was one of the more tragic things that happened in there. And of course, don't forget about Owen Hart and other.
Yeah.
So many unfortunate deaths that took place over the years. ODs and whatnot.
I found a. They've got an article about the worst trade deadline move for every team. All right, so this is the Cubs' worst trade deadline move. This is July 8th, 2008. All right, the Cubs acquired Rich Harden and Chad Godin from the A's. In return, they gave the A's Sean Gallagher, Eric Patterson, Matt Merton, and Josh Donaldson.
Well,
are you that is their worst trade?
And maybe at a deadline that was, you know, giving up at least one of the players turned out to be pretty damn good. The other ones, well, Merton didn't stay too long in the majors, I don't think. But Donaldson,
no,
of course.
Yeah. Merton actually put up some really nice numbers in Japan. So
Yeah, he did.
You know, and the thing that obviously they don't mention with this here is at the time Donaldson was traded, he was about a 200 hitting catcher in Class A. So there was little or no value to him. It actually took, the article even here says it mentioned it took 5 years from this trade until the time Donaldson broke out. So, you know, it. You know, while it's not a great trade, I don't think it's the nightmare that, you know, some of these trades were. So, you know, like here's the Orioles one, and I'll give you this one real quick because it involves Cubs. July 2nd, 2013, the Orioles pick up Scott Feldman and Steve Clevenger for Jake Arrieta and Pedro Strop. Now, that's a bad trade.
Not for the Cubs, though.
No, but it's the Orioles' worst trade deadline move. So.
Yeah. Well, the truth be told, though, that Arrieta was not all that good, if not with Baltimore.
No, the Cubs really did a nice job of developing him, and they allowed him to throw across his body, which is what the Orioles didn't want him to do. So, you know, it was a big plus for him there, and it, you know, it worked out.
Yeah. Yeah, that was not a good deal
for
Baltimore. What about any other ones that are of note?
No, not really. I want to jump into your picks here before we forget, because
I do that sometimes
when we get going. You know, you actually are 37-12 on the year. It's been a few weeks. I actually already wrote your first ones down because you mentioned it earlier. The Cubs open their series tonight with the Brewers. And while we were talking about it earlier, you mentioned that you expect the Brewers to win the series. So that means you don't have the Cubs winning the series and you don't have them sweeping. So have you changed your mind in the last 50 minutes or so we've been on the air?
No, I still pick the Brewers winning 2 out of 3.
All right, then they move on. Maybe an even tougher series. They have the Cardinals, who have just been fantastic. And, you know, it's the same two questions. Do the Cubs win the series, and do they sweep?
Well, here's a surprise for you. I say they will not sweep, but I predict, and here's my surprise pick of the week, the Cubs winning 2 out of 3 against the Cardinals.
All right. Well, let's drop a couple of fun ones here on you. This now, you know, the last, I believe it's 3 nights we have had a player hit 3 home runs in a game. You know, last night it was Nelson Cruz.
Right.
2 nights ago, I believe it was Paul DeJong, and then 3 nights ago it was Robinson Cano. Just really simple. Do we have a player tonight that has a 3-home run game?
I would say the players come down to earth tonight. There will not be a 3-home run game tonight by an individual player.
All right, and then I'm gonna since I think that one might have been a little easy. I'm gonna give you a real this one's actually gonna be kind of difficult for you. You know, Dylan Cease is scheduled to make the start for the White Sox tonight. He's been scuffling. He hasn't been as good as his prospect numbers look. But I want you to. And I'll give you a little leeway here, maybe 2/3 of an inning. Tell me how many innings he goes against the Twins tonight, and how many strikeouts does he record?
I would say that he goes 4 innings tonight and strikes out.
All right.
I'm going to be generous. I'm going to say he strikes out 5.
All right. And then, yeah, I'll give you, plus or minus 2/3 of an inning. So, anywhere from 3 1/3 to 4 2/3, because that's a tough prediction to hit on there. So we'll see how that one goes for you. So, and then how long? We're 5 days away. How long do we have to wait now until we see a big name move? Are we going to get something over the weekend? Like Dan said yesterday, he believes it's not going to be till the 31st. Do you think teams wait that long, or do you see these guys maybe trying to get ahead here? And I'm surprised teams haven't already, but, do you see somebody making a move over the weekend finally?
No, I have to agree with Dan. I think it's going to be a last-minute thing, either Tuesday or Wednesday before some major deals go down.
Yeah, it's just, it's been so odd to me that it's been so stagnant, because I would think if I was a contender and I was looking for a starting pitcher, I would want him for as many starts as I could get him for. So I'm a little surprised that we
haven't. What's the reluctance? What's your opinion as to what's causing this reluctance for teams in contention to make these major moves?
Honestly, I believe the market is really high on these guys right now. And, it's going to, somebody's going to have to pay a price to land one of these guys. And I just don't know if teams are willing to, take apart their farm systems like that anymore. Just imagine, like the Royals wanted 5 prospects for Whit Merrifield. That was the asking price. Now Whit Merrifield's a good player, but I'm not giving Kansas City 5 prospects.
No.
Imagine what the Mets want for Syndergaard. A talent like that, a 26-year-old guy with 3 years of control. What's the asking price there? It's got to be a Chris Sale, Jose Quintana type deal, right?
Yeah, you would think so. You would think so. And our team's going to lower their demands, their expectations for the last couple of days.
That'll really be the big question, will they dial it down and take a little less, or are they going to hold tight? There's no reason the Mets have to deal Syndergaard. Like I said, they got 3 years of control, so you can always do it last season. So, oh, hey, look at that. It's time for us to go. That went kind of quick on me.
Hey, the music is all right.
I think it's going to be the same morning as Mr. Fan. I don't know if it is. Now we're going to tell you the deal. Check out what's going on over there. While you're there, there are official links to stuff over to the Facebook page. You got a like. But don't forget to Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. I'll feel free to look me up on Twitter. I am at Sports Time. And as always, if you want to be forward to see you, I'm glad to do that. As always, if you want to be listening to us live, that was really easy to do that. We appreciate that. But if you did miss the podcast, just head over to TuneIn.com. You can listen anytime you want.